interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Let's go! Hey, Joe, what a day! Delete! Delete! Delete!
Oh, there I am. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Ringside with What a Day, Joe Lowry. I'm your host, Joe What a Day Lowry, coming to you live here from the What a Day studios, courtesy of Monty and the Pharaoh YouTube channel. So thanks for joining us. I see the chat lighting up already. Thank you so much for tuning in live as well as on the replay. Tonight we have our guests, but we're going to get to that in one moment. Real quickly, if you've been living under a rock, last night TNA, the debut of Matt Hardy, Broken Matt Hardy. That's why I put that video at the end there. He debuted at TNA, and everybody thought he was signed with TNA, but he, lo and behold, he came out with a tweet later on that night saying he's still a free agent and he will appear wherever he wants to appear. So it looks like Broken Matt Hardy might be making the rounds before I think ultimately he will end up in back at the WWE. So, and also, big news, Friday night during SmackDown, kind of a weird timing situation, but looks like the chopping block, WWE released some wrestlers. If you didn't know, Jinder Mahal was a big one released, Zion Lee, as well as Xia Li. It's kind of crazy, Zion Lee and Xia Li, both were let go. Veer Mahan and Sang, a.k.a. Indashir, which ironically, Jinder Mahal was managing, they were let go. And so forth. And, it's not about the releases that has everybody talking on the internet. It's the timing of those releases. You'll probably see that in my rant this week on Bill Apter's newsletter. But nonetheless, you know, the timing was it's crazy. You know, coming off WrestleMania, everything's successful, money being made everywhere. You're debuting brand new tag straps on both Raw and SmackDown. And now, you're going to go ahead and release these guys. So obviously it wasn't a money issue, per se than a talent issue. So, you know, good luck to them. They do have 90-day non-compete. So July 20th will be the day that they can show up wherever they want to show up. All right. So I just want to get that out of the way. And what do I see in the chat? But it looks like we have the first lady of wrestling returning to the chat, Miss Maria Davis. Maria, welcome back. Thank God you're back. We miss you. Your bionic knee was hurt all around the world. So thank you so much for joining us. I see little Patty, baby cakes there. Monty's tuning in, all that stuff. Little Patty, good stuff. Benny Scala, there you are. I saw you now. So thank you all for tuning in. So my guest tonight, I'm going to bring him on in one second here. He is a former ring boy with the World Wrestling Federation. That's what they were called back in the day, in case you didn't know that. But we all know it is WWE now, but there was a scandal back in the 90-92 era, you know, involving a ring announcer by the name of Mel Phillips. And he was fired from the company ultimately for, I guess, unprofessional conduct with younger men or children or teenagers. I don't know the full scope of it, but that is what the case may be. And since then, it's generated a lot of back and forth and so forth. What's true versus not true. So I'm going to bring him in. His name is Gerard Mallette. Gerard, I'm bringing you in right here. Welcome to What a Day, Gerard.
Thank you.
You all right there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Gerard, I'm bringing you on. You were last on Monty and the Pharaoh back on February 29th with some interesting information and so forth. If you want, you can kind of recap what you were talking about with Monty and them real quick before we get into what we need to get into.
I was talking to them about how Mel Phillips, Terry Garvin, and Pat Patterson never showed me the kind of stuff that Lee Cole has alleged. Okay? Alleged.
Okay.
Yep. The reason why it's alleged, because nobody was ever arrested, convicted, you know, charged, anything like that. And the one thing I would like to tell people is that I waited 32 years because I made a promise to Mel Phillips.
Yep.
I would never talk about it while he was alive because he always thought he would go back to the WWF.
Okay.
And, you know, a promise is a promise. If I would have known in 2012 that he had died, I would have come out and challenged Tom Cole himself on all the allegations.
Okay, so Tom Cole has a brother, Lee Cole, correct?
Yep.
And seems like Lee has been very, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but he's been very outspoken in this regard, saying that Mel Phillips is indeed a pedophile. He's groomed children and so forth. What can you tell me about that real quickly, about Mel Phillips? Is he that type of person that you knew?
He is nowhere near what Lee Cole tries to describe. He was an intelligent man. He had a college education.
Sure.
If Mel's crime is that he loved his job, and that if you talk, if anybody could tell you how much he loved his job,
right?
He was so dedicated to Vince McMahon and his job. He worked for Vince's father. That's how dedicated he was.
So Mel Phillips was a long-term employee then.
He was a long-term associate with WWF.
Okay.
Now, when I say associate, because he technically never was an employee, for the simple fact, he never wanted to become a technical employee, because if he was an employee, then he would have had to been set to a certain wage scale.
Okay.
And he liked making his he got paid for everything he did.
So Mel Phillips wasn't an employee of the WWF. He was just somebody who got paid to do things while he was at the arenas and so forth.
He basically was, today he's what you call an independent contractor hired by WWF.
Okay.
So
he wasn't, I know what you're saying. He's not an employee, doesn't get benefits and all that stuff. He's independent contractor and so forth. Now, when he became a ring announcer, he wasn't an employee then? He was still an independent contractor?
Independent contractor the whole time. And the reason why I can tell you this, he got a 1099 every year, and that's what cost him his it basically what cost him. So after he got after he gave his resignation to the WWF, the IRS took what was ever left of him.
Okay.
And because they said he never filed his taxes, his settlement, I've turned on Monty and Farrow, was greater than $800,000. He got $70,000 of it. The rest of it, the IRS confiscated.
And why is that? Because he didn't pay back taxes and so forth?
That's what they said. But I think that's the only way they could go after him. For what they couldn't find nothing on him on one side, so they went after him for the tax purposes.
When you say they went after him, who are you referring to?
I think the government couldn't find nothing on the child stuff, so I think they went after him for the, and because he didn't have the money to pay for a lawyer.
Okay. Are you saying there was a federal investigation with Mel Phillips?
There was an investigation, but they couldn't find nothing. And here's the thing. Lee Cole has one. The one thing Lee Cole never said, he was never questioned on his. He was never questioned about it either. He never got put in deposition and stuff like that. He never went in front of any jury.
Who was that, Lee or Tom?
Mel.
Mel. Okay.
He never got brought in front of any. He never got brought in front of it.
Okay. So let's fast forward to now. You spoke with Mike and Monty, Mike and Jimmy back on February 29th and so forth. Since then, you've had some. I guess, interaction with Lee Cole in regards to all this. Why don't you fill the viewers in on what's been transpiring between you and Lee?
So after Monty and the Pharaoh, I reached out to Lee Cole. He didn't reach out to me.
Okay.
And the first email back went along the lines is, what's your problem, man? And I replied, what do you mean, what's my problem? What's your problem? He said, you guys, you know, sick, you're defending sick people. I said, I'm not defending sick people.
I don't mean to stop you, but just to let our viewers know, when you say Lee is saying you're defending Gerard Melez defending six people, he's talking about Mel Phillips and pedophilia and so forth.
Right? I'm defending Mel Phillips, Terry Garvin, and Pat Patterson.
I say all three of them. Okay.
Yes, he says, I'm defending these guys, and he basically saying I shouldn't be defending them. Okay. And when, as we're going on, we talked for 1 hour, people.
Okay.
And the first thing he brought up to me is, I wasn't going on Monty and the Pharaoh with you because I don't want them getting the clicks. I don't want them getting the hits. If there's a story that's going to be told, it's going to be on my show. So when can me and you agree on a show that me and you can do? I said, Lee, whenever you're available, let's do this. Three times he canceled on me. We had a date three times. He canceled three times.
This is after you were on Mike and Monty.
This is after Monty, after Mike Monty and Monty.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one of the discussions I had with him about his disdain of calling me Mrs. Mel Phillips, I said, Lee, at first I took that as an insult, but then I took it as a compliment because guess what? I got to do certain things with the WWF that other guys, some guys might not have got just because of my work ethic. Not because I was doing anything illegal, stuff like that. Because of my work ethic, I would get sent places and stuff like that.
What's the reasoning behind the Mrs. Mel Phillips?
Because I was always around Mel. Wherever Mel went, okay, I was there. And it started as a joke.
Right.
And as it was getting as a joke and stuff like that, yeah, Mel heard it and stuff like that. But I would hear it. And one of the people that would bring it up was William Moody.
Okay.
And
who is he?
Paul Bearer.
Oh, Paul Bearer. Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So, yep.
And so it would be brought up and stuff like that, but I never took it as – the insult part of it, when I was there and stuff like that, I never took it an insult part of it.
Yeah.
Except for one day I was getting it by Jerry Sags and Brian Knobs.
Okay.
And Sid Justice just happened to be at Gorilla.
Okay.
And he says to me, listen, as long as these guys know stuff like that gets to you, they're going to keep saying it. Now, if anybody knows about the squeegee incident with Sid Justice, this guy, he was supposed to be in the next Hulk Hogan and stuff like that.
Right.
And so they talked about that with him. And from that moment on, he said that I took it as a badge of honor and I never let it get to me. And because I never let it get to me.
So you took the Mrs. Mel Phillips as a badge of honor?
If it means that I'm busting my ass and doing the job, that's how I took it. Because that's what this guy, that's what he did. He busted his ass. He did the job.
Just real quickly, Gerard, I'm looking at this very subjectively. I'm in the middle. I don't know all the specifics and so forth. But when people are calling you Mrs. Mel Phillips, you know, the first thing you think of is not work ethic. What you think of is the fact that, okay, you are associated with Mel Phillips. And, you know, the relationship, you know, it's there is a stigma involved when you're attached to that.
Yeah.
With a Mrs. Mel Phillips. You didn't take it like that. You didn't perceive it at all that these people were looking at you like, okay, even though the wrestlers and everybody were telling you, hey, if you get that moniker, they're gonna ride you the whole time you're with the company. You didn't see fit to possibly say, hey, no, don't talk to me like that or ever defend yourself. Because when you're looking at it for any other angle, Mrs. Mel Phillips sounds like you're Mrs. Mel Phillips.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
I would let it get to me.
Calling me Mrs. somebody like that, I would take it as like, dude, you're totally wrong. Did you ever get defensive with any of the guys?
Joe, I'm 18, 19 years old, and I'm hearing this.
Yeah.
And because of when Sid said that to me, now I used to let it get to me, and they would see it get to me.
Right.
So and when he told me that, it just flipped the thing and said, I no longer allowed it to get to me. And believe it or not, it went away. So it did go away. Okay. But because they knew they could get to me saying it,
sure.
Once I stopped letting it get to me, now the same guys who were saying it, were now allowing me to be part of their matches. So it's almost like I'm being, hey, he's just a mark or something like that. I went from being mark to a coworker.
Okay, that's fine, Lee. I mean, Gerard, that's cool. I mean, but what I'm trying to get at, okay, so let's try and stay on track here. You're corresponding with Lee Cole for the last few months, you know, since your appearance on Monty and the Pharaoh.
Yep.
You've had some interactions. These emails, I know we were going to bring on text messages, but what happened to those text messages?
My fat fingers erased them by accident.
Okay. What were the contents of those text messages, if you can just share with us what those were?
The contents of it was us setting up a – between the emails and the text messages, the contents was us setting up to go on and do a show.
Together.
And another one – was
the show was going to be together, you both on the show.
Yep.
Talking
me
about
and him, me and him doing a show together.
Okay.
Okay.
And then, okay, so you're corresponding. Keep going.
And so I end up calling. So it started off by emailing.
Okay.
Then it goes to text messaging.
Yeah, excuse me.
I was at work one night, and I said, you know what? I'm going to call him on my break. So I called him.
Okay.
Picked up the phone. I'm sorry. Before I called him on my break at work, I actually called him from my house phone. Now, my house phone, sometimes if it calls you, shows up private. He goes, you're going to call me on a private number? I said, I'm on my house phone. Sorry.
Okay.
I just wanted to reach out to you, let you know, we can get together. He goes, well, I'm leaving for to do something up in New York. He told me a couple of days, give him a call back. So I gave him a call back in a couple of days.
Okay.
And so now we have an hour conversation.
So we're well into March now, right?
Oh, yeah. We're into March.
Okay.
So during the conversation,
sure.
He he was talking to me, and he mentioned about something to where I bring up on Monty and the Pharaoh about me seeing Tom Cole on November of 1991.
Okay. Tom Cole is Lee's brother, correct?
Yeah. Correct. Tom Cole is the one who started all this, in case anyone, so we get everybody up to speed.
Okay.
And he goes, my brother went away for 4 years.
Okay.
Now, his brother claims he got fired in February of 1990.
Okay.
The lawsuit came out February of 1992.
Okay.
1990 to 1992 is not 4 years. No matter how you slice and dice it, Lee, it's not 4 years.
Okay.
He met Phil Mushnick in October of 1991. All you got to do is follow the scripts here.
Okay.
I saw him at Madison Square Garden in November 91. He went and saw a lawyer. So the timeline that Lee has laid out, to me, the 4 years, he didn't want to hear my story. He didn't want to, how do I know my brother met you? Well, I'm telling you, your brother met me. You told me your brother was gone for 4 years. But in March of 1992, he was on the Phil Donahue show.
Right.
Lee was in the green room while Tom was sitting in the audience. This is what Lee told me.
Okay.
Now, the other thing that Lee told, if you listen to some of his story,
okay,
is about a kid named Sean.
Yeah.
That he said 1987.
Right.
Mel Phillips attacked him. However you want to say, attacked him, you know.
What do you mean? We sexually abused him? Yeah,
sexual abuse, okay?
So back in 1987, who's the Sean guy?
This kid, Sean.
I think I've seen on the internet and so forth, this Sean character. Get into great detail. That's actually started this whole thing, believe it or not. Okay.
So
real quickly, did you know Sean?
Nope.
You never met Sean?
Nope.
Sean was, I do believe, he was based out of Philadelphia, correct? 87.
From what I know.
According to the article that I read, he was out of Philadelphia. He traveled as far as Connecticut and as far south as Baltimore. He does have pretty good corroborated stories about Mel Phillips and what was going on. But this was back in 87 now. But
correct.
Well before you. Real quickly, I know I don't want to try to deviate too much here. Real quickly, though, you told me you met Mel Phillips for the first time in 87, correct?
February 4th, 1987.
Right, and that was you you somehow got into carrying someone's bags out of the auditorium.
Coco Beware.
What's that?
Coco Beware.
Coco Beware, and you were fortunate enough to get involved in that aspect and so forth. So your first meeting with Mel Phillips was in 87?
Yes.
Okay, so did you guys create a relationship back in 87 at that point?
Yeah, like I said, that match in Lowell was on a Wednesday. 3 days later, they did a show in Boston. Right. I came down to Boston and met him in Boston. And
so basically, your only connection to Mel Phillips at this point is when he came to town. You didn't travel back then and all that. You were young, still in high school. I get it. But it wasn't until you got out of high school, you graduated high school, you then became an official ring boy with the company. I think I have a picture of it here somewhere right here. There's a picture of you. Let me get the banner out of the way so the viewers can see it. Real quickly, where is that picture taken?
December 2nd, 1990, Honolulu, Hawaii.
So you're in Honolulu, Hawaii. What are you, 18, 17?
I'm 17 years old. I'm 3 weeks away.
17 from years old. You're sitting ringside with a beautiful WWF blazer on. Dressed pretty good, right?
If you made your dress my up. My finger right there. If you look at my finger right there, that actually is my high school graduation ring that's on my finger.
Okay. Where'd you graduate from, out of curiosity?
Greater Lowell Regional Vocational Technical School.
There you go. North Shore, Boston. I get it. All right. So you're in Hawaii. I mean, this must be a thrill of a lifetime for you to be in Hawaii. What was your role there sitting ringside? What did you do then?
Jackets.
You just retrieved wrestlers' jackets and brought them back to the dressing room?
This was my second time there.
Second time in Hawaii?
Yes.
So you're 17. You're not 18 yet.
Right.
And you're flying around the U.S., you know, with Mel Phillips, I assume?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So that's pretty cool, I guess. I mean, you started carrying bags for everybody. So the first time you did Coco Beware's bags in Lowell, when was this picture taken? How quickly did you advance here? Because you were just I'm sorry. That's in 1990, correct?
Yeah, that's nine. So it's 3 years.
You graduated. Yeah. All right. So my bad. I'm just trying to I'm trying to get the picture in my head here. So you started out carrying bags for wrestlers locally during your high school years. After you graduated high school, how did you get involved doing it full time, per se?
Sophomore year of high school, I was doing some. I wasn't the greatest student in school because I was finding school boring, and I was getting into a lot of. I was doing a lot of in-house suspension.
Yeah, I hear you.
And Mel found out about it. He goes, "Listen, I'm going to try and make you an offer. If you can graduate on time with passing grades, you'll have a job."
Okay.
And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "I'm giving you the offer. I'm not promising you anything."
Well, an offer is almost like a promise.
Right. Well, you know? And basically what he's saying is, hey, if you can turn these grades around. So I'm going to say my sophomore year, I got suspended about 10 times. Junior year, I got suspended twice. Senior year, I didn't get suspended at all. Passing grades, passed on time.
Well, that's great. Congratulations for that. That's really good. My only flip side to that, Gerard, and I'll say this honestly, did you find that kind of, because to me that sounds like this is more than a relationship between you two. This is something that he's saying to you, like you just met this man, correct?
No. We had already known each other for a year.
Okay, so but you developed that relationship where he's offering you a chance to work full time with him in the WWF, doing, you know, ring boy, doing all that stuff. If you get passing grades in high school and in your senior year, because obviously you know, I know a lot of kids aren't meant for high school. I for one, you know, treated it as more of a social gathering more than a learning thing, but whatever, that's just my take on it. But I just want to know technically how this relationship really came about, because it seems like it accelerated quickly after the bags with Coco Beware. Boom, here we are a couple of years later. You graduate high school because Mel said if you graduate on time and all that good stuff.
Being from Boston.
What's that?
You being from Boston, they used to do a monthly show.
Oh, yeah. At the Garden. Oh, yeah.
I would be able to see him on a monthly basis. Okay.
Right. Real quickly, I'm just curious. The shows came to town. I think it was always the first Saturday of the month from when I remember growing up.
It was four weeks, however you wanted to spread it out.
Right, yeah, but most of the time it was pretty close to the first week. So my big thing here is, did he call you to let you know he was coming to town? Or did you just show up at the – so you exchanged phone numbers and stuff? Okay. So
I actually knew his home phone number probably about a year and a half into.
Okay. So you got this relationship with Mel where he comes to town, he calls you. I mean, but you already know, because did you watch wrestling as a kid?
My first time I ever watched was the day Jimmy Snuka got busted open by Ray the Crippler Stevens.
Oh, yeah. Great time. Buddy Rogers Corner. I remember that exactly. There you go. You're a liar, Buddy Rogers. Captain Lou Albano, you got to love it. So that was your first time watching wrestling?
That Jimmy Snuka incident where Lou Albano busted him with a coconut. Okay.
What made you turn on wrestling, real out of curiosity?
I was actually sitting at home on a Saturday morning. I grew up with four older sisters.
Okay.
It's the first time I had the remote control to myself. Sure. Just flipping through the channels. Okay. Stopped on that, said, "What is this?"
Okay. And I'm just trying to paint the picture. Okay, yeah. So now you're involved. You know they're coming to town. You meet Mel Phillips after. When did you first meet Mel Phillips after the Jimmy Snuka when you started watching wrestling? How long was it before?
4 years before. Well, if Snuka, I think Snuka happened in 82.
Yeah, it was 82, 83, somewhere around there.
So it'd been right about 4 years.
Okay, so nonetheless, you became a fan. So you were a fan of wrestling. You watched it and all that stuff.
Yes.
Correct? So, all right. So you kind of knew when show was coming to town every Boston because you watched TV. You probably watched it on Channel 56 like I did.
Yep.
And you'd have the promos and stuff that they're coming to town. So you kind of knew the date they were coming to town.
Yeah.
But Mel would call you anyways to let you know he was coming to town?
He would call. But yes, he would call me. Yeah. So once we met, he would call and say, "Hey, listen, I'm going to be at the garden. Okay. I'll be up there and just get permission from your parents. See if I can pick you up.
Okay.
And if I can, just let me know." He would call about a week in advance because, and then a couple of days later, he'd call back. "Hey, are you all set to go?" "Yep, I'm all set to go." Boom.
So he was, so he was pretty. You guys had good communication and so forth. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to fast forward. Let's get back. I didn't mean to sidetrack and all that stuff. I'm just trying to paint this picture and so forth. So your conversations with Lee Cole have turned resentful, I'm going to say, at this point in the last couple of weeks, months, whatever. You were on February 29th, Mike and Monty the Pharaoh.
One of the things I wanted to bring up is the fact that he mentioned his kid, Sean.
Yeah.
He said he interviewed a guy named Sean.
Okay.
He said, "Hey, Sean, when you were there in 87, you went up, you went to Titan Tower and all that stuff. Well, I've got something to show you."
Okay.
This is April, May of 1991. Okay. So everybody can look. WWE tour itinerary. Okay.
Okay.
World Wrestling Federation, 1055 Summer Street, Stanford, Connecticut. This is in 1991.
Sure.
Their address now is 1241 East Main Street. It's been 1241 East Main Street since the late 1991. So how did this guy go to Titan Tower in 1987 when it didn't go there till after April and May of 1991? Okay.
So let me get this straight. He's saying that he went to Titan Tower.
Yep.
No address given, just Titan Tower.
Yep.
Back in 1987. And you're claiming that it was not built. Well, that wasn't the physical address at the point. It wasn't called Titan Tower at that time.
No.
Okay. So it wasn't until 1991. What is that itinerary? Can you show everybody the front page of that? What is that for? WWF UK
Rampage Store. 1991.
Is that something they gave to all the employees and so forth to?
This is the total itinerary.
Okay.
And I will give you this. This shows you Wednesday, April 24th.
Okay.
Okay.
1991.
Yep. And look at the, and I would even show you the wrestlers coming in.
Okay. Yep. Steve Lombardi. Hold that up.
You look down the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got to get a close.
What am I looking at here? Okay.
Look at the very bottom.
Okay. Terry Garvin.
There you go.
Okay. And what's this got to do with anything?
I'm just saying to you.
Yeah.
This is that's why I'm saying nobody can think, "Oh, he just pulled that out." That is the official UK Rampage Tour stuff. So, you know,
who got copies of those? All the talent, everybody?
Only the people who went on the tour.
That went on the tour, correct. Right. Correct. So everybody who's affiliated with WWF, including wrestlers, ring boys, backstage people, all that stuff, got this. I assume they read it on the flight over. Did you go to you were in London?
I was not allowed to work it, but I went to the shows. Mel got me this copy.
So time out again. You weren't allowed to work it, but you were allowed to attend the shows?
Yes.
So let me get this straight. You flew over to London?
Correct.
You flew over to London just for the sake of going to the shows. You weren't working them.
I was not allowed to work because even though I was 18, international law, I couldn't go over and work because.
So why did you? That's fine. Why did you go over there? Why did you take the trip over?
Because after this tour was over, I went on a vacation and we went to certain, me and Mel went to castles. We went to Leeds Castle, Dover Castle, Windsor Tower Bridge.
Okay, so Gerard, let me stop you right there. So you actually flew over on this with as a guest of Mel?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yep.
You weren't flying over to work it?
No.
You were flying it. So when you attended the shows, were you backstage?
Nope. I was actually sitting in the audience.
Okay, so you got a ticket to the show and you were there?
Yep.
Okay, and this is all during the time where back in the States, you were a ring boy and you did your thing.
Yes.
Working with the wrestlers and so forth.
Yep.
So if somebody is just tuning into this right now, what would you feel they would think that, okay, you're not working the shows. You're how old are you at this point?
18. I'm an adult.
No, that's fine. No, I get that. That's fine. You're not working the shows. You want to, why did you want to go over there? Just to go over there? Or?
Oh yeah. I'm a castle fanatic. I love castles.
Okay.
So I knew we were going to go see Windsor Tower, the Dover Castle. That was the White Cliffs of Dover. I heard about it. I wanted to go over and see him.
Okay.
And then Leeds Castle was just a throw-in because that's the tour that we were on.
Okay. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is, what was your relationship with Mel? Was there intimacy involved or anything like that?
No intimacy at all. And I'll put you like this. He was a second father. I don't know how to make sense of this, but he was a second father. He was basically doing to me. He was basically having me, and me and him were doing things that I wish I could have done with my own dad.
Right.
But my own dad was busy with work, and Mel's schedule was a lot more flexible. But
how old was Mel at this point?
So this is 1992, 42.
So he's 42. Hanging out with the 18, 19-year-old.
I know, 41, like I said. But remember now, I'm technically an employee, I just couldn't work it because I didn't have work papers.
But still, you weren't allowed backstage. You weren't allowed to be affiliated with the company per se because you had to sit in the audience. Didn't you find that kind of weird? If you were an employee and you were a guest of Mel and you were flying over, why couldn't you stay backstage and hang out? You know what I mean? You know everybody, so it's not like you didn't know everybody.
At that time?
Yeah.
Being backstage, UK considered you working.
Even if you're backstage?
Even if I'm backstage. Even at that time, even if I was backstage.
But if you were a wrestler's wife or something like that, they were allowed backstage, right?
I wasn't married to anybody. I wasn't married anymore. So when I went over and I went through customs, they said you can. And I told them exactly what I was going over for.
You told the customs agent at the airport why you were going over there,
huh?
You told the customs agent at the airport why you were going over there.
I'm going to see wrestling shows. He goes, I told him I'm going as a fan, and that he goes, okay. If you're going as a fan, you cannot have nothing to do with the show. Okay, that's fine.
Gerard, I got to ask you real quick. Why would a customs agent is this back in Boston or was this over in London when you
London?
Landed? So they asked you what you were doing there. Is that what they said? Okay. All right.
Yep.
So, and you just said you were going going to wrestling shows, but you didn't tell them you worked for them, did you?
No.
So I'm just trying to figure out why they would say that to you, that you're not allowed to go backstage and work.
Like I said, in 1991, these people in London, when they were asking me these questions, I've never had these questions asked me before. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to the wrestling shows. Are you having anything to do with the wrestling shows? Nope. I'm just going to, because I don't have work papers. And that's what he goes, you can go to work.
That's fine. That's cool. So you did not have any sexual relationship with Mel Phillips at all?
Never.
Did he ever approach you?
No, never.
Did he talk about kids?
Never.
Never. So, okay, that's cool. I just want to clear the air on that because obviously with Lee Coles, you guys are having a battle here together in regards to the fact that he swears that he is out there telling the world that Mel Phillips groomed kids. I mean, I'm not saying anything that you don't know. He's saying that he groomed kids, young kids. There's stories that I've read or heard even on the, Monty Nefaro. This kid Sean really paints Mel Phillips in an opposite light that you're telling me right now, and let me get this out there first. There's incidences with him hotel rooms with young kids. Feet are involved, crotching, you know, almost to the point where, you know, there's that intimacy factor rolls in. There was the Mel Phillips, the ring announcer, who liked everybody. And then when the doors closed in the hotel room, it was a much different Mel Phillips. To me, I'm a little confused as why Lee Cole be painting a picture that Mel Phillips is this person when you clearly are stating that you've traveled with Mel Phillips, you have known Mel Phillips for a while. You know, something's not adding up.
I'll put it like this. Okay. Like I've said to Lee, I've said it on Monty.
Sure.
I never saw anything amount to criminal activity. Now, I'm not asking about criminal.
To me, criminal activity is the guy was transporting drugs, not being a pedophile. That's my image of criminal activity.
Okay. Now,
but you're saying that Mel Phillips, in your eyes, that you've seen, that you've been with, traveled overseas with, gone to Hawaii with as a worker, you know, that type of thing.
Yep.
And now, you know, here comes Lee Cole, this guy Sean, you know, we'll go back to whenever this story came out. I mean, this story kind of broke, I think, in February, correct?
Yes.
Like this guy Sean came out.
Here's
I mean, it's an old story just being reignited by some accusations. Unfortunately, Mel Phillips is no longer with us. He has passed away. So right now it's a lot of who knows what, you know, that type of thing. My word against your word. And to be honest with you, as a journalist, I'm looking for some type of corroboration, some kind of proof to prove either or.
Well, I'll put you like this. He told me I wasn't the kind of kid they were grooming. Okay. Told me I wasn't being groomed.
Who's they? When you say they, who's they?
Lee Cole told me I'm not the kind of kid. I wasn't being groomed for him. Okay.
Okay. So you were not Mel Phillips type or whatever.
Correct.
But yet he still so he still reached out to you, told you to graduate high school, told you that you'd have a job, travel with you and all that stuff, overseas, Hawaii, all that. And this guy was not into you, but Lee Cole is claiming that he's into the what, younger kids, broken kids, what? Because this has sexual predator written all over it, if you ask me.
That's what he's claiming. And now here's the funny part. Lee Cole admitted to me he's never met Mel Phillips.
Okay. Well, that's Lee. His brother Tom was the one that worked for him, correct?
I met Tom. And
okay. When did you meet Tom?
The first, I want to say the first time was in Boston.
What year? Give me a year.
January of 89.
89. Okay. So you weren't yet working for them, right?
No.
Okay. So you met Tom Cole. Was he working with the WWF then?
They came up from New York on a double shot.
Was he with Mel Phillips then?
Yes.
Okay. Was there a relationship between those two that you know of?
I don't know. But when he came up to Boston, it was me.
Yeah.
Two other guys. So five of us ended up with Mel at this time. So
when you say five of us, do you know who the five were?
It was me. Oh, so it would be me, two other kids. They were from Dighton, Mass.
So did you know of them or did
No.
Dighton is south of Boston. I know where Dighton is. So it's falling.
Boston had he had guys that would show up in Boston. Hey, come up, do the show. I mean, come up. I'll get you into the show and stuff like that.
Okay.
Tom came up with Mel for this specific incident.
How old were these kids? How old are you guys?
Oh, these guys, I want to say 20, 21.
Okay.
So they were more up in age and they were just fans of the business who happened to run into Mel. And, you know, that's how it happened.
So Mel reached out to them, offered them to hang out, work with the guys, meet the wrestlers, all that.
He probably met them down on the Cape Cod Melody tent. I think that's how they met. So
okay.
if you know anything, in the summertime back in those days, Cape Cod.
Yep, Cape Cod during the outdoor shows. Yep.
Warwick, Rhode Island and North Shore Music Theater would be the summer circuit.
Yep, I get that. Oh, yeah, I remember those days. Yep, they
would put on those guys would come around. Those guys would meet him. Those guys, I think, met him in Cape Cod.
Right.
And they build up a relationship. And now when I say build up a relationship, it's like, hey, I'm coming into town. You want to hang out? We'd go to Kowloon's with these guys and stuff like that. Now, mind you, these guys, like I said, they're in their 20s.
Sure.
So they'd come out, we'd meet up, we'd go for dinner, they'd go on their way. Now, the thing with Tom was, at this specific show,
sure,
he came across like the biggest punk I've ever met.
Who, Tom Cole?
Yes. And
how old is he? He's like 20, 21?
At that time, it's always 1989. He was probably 19. If you look at it,
so he's legal age and all that stuff. I'm just trying to see what the deal is here. All right, so I don't want to get too off track, Gerard, because I you know some of the stuff's already been mentioned before. Right. So let's get back to the conversations you're having with Lee Cole the last few weeks and so forth. What's going on between you guys? What can you tell us? Why Lee Cole is saying that Mel Phillips has been known to groom kids, have sexual relations with kids, pedophilia, whatever you want to call it.
This is why I think he's doing it. Okay.
Okay.
I believe Lee Cole has gotten so used to the money that's being generated from this, he will prefer, he will do any lie to keep it going.
How do you know he's making what kind of money is he making off this? I'm just curious.
He himself has come out and said how good of a living he's making off of this. He said it.
He's told you this.
He said it on his own podcast.
Okay, but I'm talking about in the last few weeks. Has he said that to you?
He did not tell me himself how much money he's making. But
okay, let's get back to the conversations that you've been having with Lee Cole. So you're both trying to get on a show together.
Right.
What was the purpose of the show? What was the show going to, what was the goal or purpose for this show for you two to be on together?
I was going to try and get him to say Mel's not the person he's portraying. And I said, I said to him, I need to have freedom to talk about your brother, the WWF employee, not the father or the husband.
You're talking about Tom Cole, correct?
Tom Cole committed suicide.
Is that what I saw? Did I read that?
That's what I read too.
Why did Tom Cole commit suicide? Do we know?
Did he have cancer or something like that?
Okay. I wasn't sure if this was Mel Phillips related from
no, because it was 10. Remember, it was 9 years after the fact.
Okay.
So Mel died in 2012. He died in 2021. Now, the day Tom Cole died.
Right.
This has been 3 years of me trying to talk about this.
Okay.
I've been shut out from people who did not want to talk about this because they did not want to go against Lee Cole. So I'm not just coming out with this from Monty and you and stuff. I've been trying to get my story out there. The person who started this was a guy named David Bixenspan on Business Insider.
Okay.
He was the one looking for me.
Real quickly, Gerard, we have people in the chat there that are trying to input stuff here. Gerard, what's the deal? Is Lee lying? Is Tom lying? If so, how? How is Tom Cole lying?
Tom Cole, it was a money grab to me. Because if you hear his story,
how is he lying? That's great that he wants the money. That's great that he wants the viewers and the YouTube and all that stuff. How is Tom Cole lying? What is he saying that's a lie?
Okay, first of all, at the time that he got fired, he was an adult, so he was no longer a boy.
You're talking about Tom.
Tom's no longer a boy. And None of the instances he was talking about, as far as the sexual assault or the sexual harassment, I've never witnessed from Terry. Now, I've been at Terry's house. I've ridden in vehicles with him and stuff like that. Okay. I've been around Pat Patterson. I'm saying none of these things that these guys talk about happened to me, and I never saw them happen with anybody else.
Okay.
And, if you look since 1992, since all three of them resigned, nothing else ever came forward to where I'll give you a perfect example. Look at the church abuse scandal where people just kids came out of the woodworks once it started.
I get that. But to get to that point, Gerard, you have to be brave enough. You have to find an outlet or a vehicle that will allow the truth to be told and proven. Let's not real quickly though. Joe Myers, $5. Thank you so much. She donated to the chat, Gerard. So that's a good thing.
Thank you.
She says, this is unreal. Truth is golden and we need to get to it. We need the real facts. The real facts here are what? We need something solid, Gerard, that corroborates that Tom Cole was lying or Lee Cole is lying or Look, because what you say is the opposite of what everyone else is saying. That's all I'm saying.
What everybody is saying. I've shown you stuff from my family.
You talk about the pictures that you sent me?
Yes.
Okay, let me pull those up for everyone to see. Let me get the banner out of the way here. Okay, so we have three pictures that you sent me here. Obviously, Mel Phillips is with who? Your sister and your...
If you look, that's my nephew up in the top picture. That's him getting a Christmas gift. And this is my sister's wedding.
Okay, when were these pictures taken? What year?
If you look, it's 12/23/1993. 12/24/1993. So this is after all this has happened.
So you were still hanging out with Mel Phillips after it was all said and done?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if you look at the bottom picture.
Do you find that a little odd, though, that he was fired? Now, you left the company, too, as well, correct?
Correct.
And what was the deal there? You said Linda McMahon came up to you and said, are you okay working here or something like that?
Yep. And I left out of loyalty.
You left a job that you left out of loyalty because of Mel?
Out of all three of them.
Okay. Now, I do believe there's a story out there that Mel Phillips was secretly rehired by the WWF after that.
Never.
Okay. So that's not true at all.
We did independent shows, me and him together. Not with the WWF.
Okay. So Mel Phillips is here. This is 93, 94. I'm looking at these pictures here.
Yeah. The top two. The one in the middle, if you look, is 12/23/93.
I can't really see it on my end. I'm sure the viewers at home might be able to see it, but I can't.
12/24/93 is that middle picture. So that's Christmas of 93.
So did he stay at your house and all that stuff during Christmas?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, so, the one in the bottom is my sister's wedding. If you look straight ahead, he's in the picture.
Okay. That's fine. I see him, yeah.
Now, the guy in the gray suit to the right of him is my father.
Okay.
My father was one of the biggest you could. He was the living, breathing, real life Archie Bunker.
Okay. I think I know where you're going with this. He got along with him great and all that stuff.
He got along with him. So he turned him.
Right.
And the first thing my father asked me as soon as all this happened, is it true? I said, and I looked at it, Dad, not because he would have knocked him out. He would have cold cocked them, knocked them out, get away from my kid, never come around here again.
Right.
So the stories that came out because him and my father actually ended up building a get along relationship.
Okay.
Just because of the fact he never saw anything that this guy was accused of actually coming out in him.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, that's fine. I just wanted to show these pictures. So this was after he had left and so forth. Now it's claimed that he was fired by the WWF because of this scandal.
He wasn't fired.
I don't think you fire an employee based on assumptions and so forth. Was something found out?
He wasn't fired. He voluntarily resigned.
So he voluntarily resigned. Okay.
For the simple fact, like I've said before, I said on Monty and Farrow,
sure.
It was WrestleMania season.
Right.
They purposely waited for WrestleMania season.
Okay.
So that way there, it's a lot easier to grab. It's a lot easier. So that way the company doesn't go through this during WrestleMania season than any other time of year.
Okay.
They knew this.
When was this all taking place? 92?
Yeah, 1992.
Okay, so we get the steroid scandal in full swing too, right? Right around
that time? This came after it. This came after it.
The steroid scandal. Yeah, scandal first.
Yes.
And you got the steroids go. Now, the steroid scandal, obviously, it exploded in 92, but the steroid scandal with the way that worked out, they were investigating Vince before that.
Yes.
So, obviously, the timing is right that Vince did not want anything even on the radar. Mm-hmm. So, they let Mel Phillips go. They paid him $800,000. Is that the severance package?
North of $800,000.
So north of $800,000, but you had mentioned $800,000 in the show earlier. He was only allowed to keep 70 of it because he owed
IRS
back
took the rest.
Obviously, he owed back taxes from not paying taxes. All right, I understand that. So let's get back to the Lee Cole conversations now. He's claiming that you had a relationship with him as well. I mean, I asked you point blank, Gerard. You're on my show. I want to know. You didn't have relationships that everyone's talking about with Mel Phillips, but there are other corroborated stories out there that say that he did. I'm not saying there's proof. Right now, the whole thing, this is a lot of, I'm juggling a lot of things here because I have not seen factual proof, and I'm going to be honest when I say this, from either side. You know what I mean?
Here's a question for you, Joe.
Sure.
In 32 years, right. 32.
Okay.
Where, if somebody actually was sexually abused by Mel Phillips,
right?
32 years. Lee Cole said to me, well, they don't want to put their family through it and stuff like that. Okay? In today's age, you can do a lot of things without having to put your family through it, especially for people who no longer are alive.
Okay, so you have family members representing victims per se or non-victims or whatever. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying if there's more victims out there from Mel Phillips or Terry Garvin
right.
and that haven't come forward because they want to protect their family, there's avenues to take.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
You have to bring the evidence with you. Just by spooting off there, you go. Then now, mind you, this kid was doing an interview.
Yep.
And mysteriously got cut off.
Okay.
It's never been picked up.
Nope, that's fine. I understand where you're going with that. Let me, you told me briefly before we went on the air that there may be some WWE employees that may tune into this show tonight to hear what you have to say.
I have, there could be three people associated with the company.
Okay.
Past or present.
Okay.
Listening to me because I still do have contact with people who are in the industry still.
So you still retain, so after all these years, you still have some, I'll say relationships or whether it's contacting or whatever, you still have people. So there are still people inside, WWE right now that are still fully aware of the situation with you and Mel Phillips.
Yep.
Okay. Why would they be so interested in that? Why would they want to keep, I'm just asking this as a general question. Why would they want to keep it with you, Gerard? Because obviously you've had a relationship with Mel Phillips, albeit it was whatever relationship it was. Obviously what you're telling me that it wasn't a personal sexual boyfriend type thing, even though you were called Mrs. Phillips when you worked with him. And, that's a tough thing to go through. So, I sympathize with that. Why do you think that the WWE is trying to maintain contact with you now? Just to
the people who I deal with,
sure.
Knew Mel.
Okay.
They knew Mel the worker.
Okay.
They knew the kids that would come around. They knew what he would do with the kids.
Okay.
Yes, it was a joke. It was a joke about a certain fetish, but it was a running joke. But nothing that any of these people ever saw ever amounted to any claim Lee Cole has put out there, because a lot of the guys that would come around and no kids, they would come there, help set up the ring. Their payment was staying in, watching the show, breaking the ring, getting out and going home. And that's what it was.
Right.
And he had a very, up here in the Northeast, we could go to Providence, we could go to Manchester, New Hampshire, we could go to Boston, we could go to Worcester, go to Springfield, Glens Falls, New York, Poughkeepsie, New York, and there'd be a group of kids. And it would be the same kids. It'd not be new kids every month.
Right.
It'd be the same kids that would show up every month and do the stuff and stuff like that. We might go out for lunch if we had the time. After the show, these kids would go home. And they just like being part of the wrestling business.
Right. Now I've spoken to a John from Braintree. We've had this conversation. He told me some stories that he knew Mel.
Yep.
And there were situations where even if John was away for a weekend or not home, if Mel came to town for a show, he would even leave him the keys to his house to stay over.
Yep.
Does that sound true?
From my talkings with John, that's what he would do.
Okay. So my question there would be, why would Mel Phillips need to stay at a house? If you lived in Braintree or Quincy, that's 7-8 miles south of Boston. Why would Mel Phillips need to stay there and not get a hotel room closer? And there are plenty of hotels in Boston, Dorchester, Quincy, South Shore. Why that? Why would that be?
He tried to save the company as much money as he could. He spent the money. He did not
go out. A hotel room? Really? A hotel room?
Oh, yeah. He would try and get the cheapest hotel rooms. He would try and get the cheapest flights. Just because he'd rather have the money in his pocket than spend it on flights and hotels.
Okay, so what I'm trying to figure out here is it seems that Mel would, you know, go out of his way to save money.
Yes.
And stay at we'll call them Ring Boys homes, houses. I don't know other way to put it.
Right.
So they would stay at houses even if they were 7-8 miles, 10 miles south of the venue. Do you find that a little bit odd though? I mean, he's going out of his way to be with someone outside of the context of the venue. That's just how I'm picturing this. And I just
I had a conversation with John.
Sure.
And his mother loved him. He's like, my mother loved Mel. My mother would do anything for Mel.
Okay.
And so when you have the parents involved.
Right.
Where Lee Cole always talks about, oh, where were the parents? He doesn't understand. I never saw any kid come on the road with me and Mel who the parents didn't come out and say, hey, have a good time. There was no secret, no secret things. Come out, hey, have a good time, see you tonight.
So Mel Phillips was that guy that we'll just call him Uncle Mel at this point. Uncle Mel's in town and needs a place to stay.
Yep.
Is that what it was? Okay. Yeah. So you're all right. So back to Lee Cole conversation. What conversations right now, without sidebar and all that stuff, what's the conversation you're trying to have with Lee Cole now?
I want him to stop with the lies about this.
And the lies are what? Just give me point blank what the lies are.
I think he is continuing on with his brother's lie.
Okay.
I think his brother made up a lie.
And the brother's lie is that he was a pedophile.
Yes. Okay. And I believe he's going on with it. Just for this, in fact, he's making too much money off of it.
Okay. So, if you had a message for Lee Cole right now, what would it be? If Lee Cole was on this show, what would it be?
Go on any unbiased person's cast with me and let's have a discussion and stop beating around the bush about it. You have a story. You have a fib, I should say. I was there. I've known Mel Phillips. I knew Terry Garvin. I knew Pat Patterson.
Right.
You knew your brother. You admitted to me, Lee, that your brother was a punk.
Okay. So that and since then, your correspondence with Lee has been pretty much cut off.
Yes.
Okay. In what way? What way has that been cut off?
He wants nothing to do with me because I believe these three guys are innocent and he will not have the discussion with me on anybody's forum. Okay. And so if he believes his story is so true, come on, let's have a discussion.
Yeah. So your message to Lee Cole here tonight is that you want to get on face to face with Lee Cole and to duke this out. Or you just want him to stop with the lies. And the lies being that his brother Tom, who killed himself a few years back, said to him that Mel Phillips was a groomer, was into young kids and so forth and all that. We won't have to keep reiterating what was said on previous shows. But what's your gut feeling on this? I mean, some of the stuff that I've read, you know, with the kids and the feet thing and the crotch shots and he liked to wrestle boys and hotel rooms. That to me is a little, you know, whether they're 18, whether they're 17, whether they're 13, I don't care how you look at it. It just doesn't seem right. It doesn't bode well if there was a person that knew nothing about the situation and they're watching the show tonight, they're probably scratching their heads right now as to why you had a relationship with Mel Phillips and why there's other stories about him, you know, via Lee Cole and Tom Cole and all that stuff. So you get, there's two sides to this. We need some proof at some point, because
I told a story about,
let me finish real quick, Gerard. Okay. You gotta see fit that in this day, you know, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. And unfortunately with social media, that's where we're at.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So we're looking at the fact that, you know, hey, you know, one side saying he's a pedophile and we have another guy over here who's saying he's not. What's the deal? You know what I mean?
So I'm gonna put you like this. Mel was never questioned, never arrested, never charged, never convicted.
Right. And we all know that.
Okay.
So that's fine. That's fine. That means they couldn't find actual proof for anything that could corroborate these so-called allegations.
Now,
and then what we do is we flip that around, and maybe that's because that, you know, there was a cover-up maybe.
Well, I'm going to put it to you like this.
Victims won't come forward. Victims won't cooperate. It happens all the time in this judicial system. We've seen it. There's an investigation. Nothing comes of it, but we know deep down.
When I went in for my deposition, I was told by the people giving the depositions.
Sure.
That Tom Cole had come out and said he lied.
Tom Cole came out and said in his deposition, or you were told during your deposition?
I was told during my deposition that during Tom Cole's deposition, he lied. Now,
why would they tell you that during your deposition?
Because they wanted to see where I would go. Now, if you've ever been part of the grand jury,
you don't think that was a tactic to try and corroborate some other motive?
This is where I'm going to go with this. I got questioned for 2.5 hours.
Okay.
So the first day you get questioned, and then the next day they're going to bring you back for going in front of the grand jury.
So they had a grand jury seated for this?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
New York.
That's pretty significant.
Yes.
Okay. We didn't talk about that, but okay. So this whole thing made it to the point where the grand jury was seated to hear testimony.
Correct.
Wow.
I got brought in. The day before, I got brought in on a Thursday. Yep. I was going to go in front of the grand jury on Friday.
Okay.
I got questioned by defense or prosecutor, however you want to look at it.
Sure.
They sent me home on Friday. I never got in front of the grand jury. They said, Mike, I could back up dates, times, places. Every question they could throw at me, I had no paper in front of me.
Okay. What came with the grand jury?
Mel was never charged with anything.
They didn't go forward with anything. It just stopped right there. So they didn't find sufficient enough evidence.
Correct.
Within who did they interview, by the way? You? Did they? Tom Cole?
By the time they got to me, this was about a year and a half into it.
Sure.
It had already flipped from the Ring Boy scandal to steroids.
Okay.
If they could have hung Vince on anything.
Right.
That's what, you know, whatever they could have hung him on at that point, they were looking to hang him on anything.
Okay. Did this involve Pat Patterson at the time too, that this whole deposition thing?
I don't know if it involved him, but
were you questioned on it? What were your questions in the deposition on?
My questions were basically like talking about Mel. Did Terry Garvin ever approach you in any kind of way sexually?
Okay, no. So it involved Terry Garvin, Mel Phillips, but not Pat Patterson?
They might have threw a question for Pat at me just as a general. Did Pat Patterson ever proposition you?
Okay, so, well, that's the same thing as Terry Garvin. So yeah, all three, right. So this was a legitimate scandal at the time that a grand jury was seated. I know what you're trying to say. The fix was in. They were trying to get Vincent on anything. They were trying to hang him on something because the steroid scandal was happening and all that. I totally get that. But that is kind of serious, though, when you think about it. A grand jury being seated for that. And for them to put you in a deposition where they asked you about Pat Patterson, Terry Garvin, and Mel Phillips. So grand jury, nothing ever came of it. That was that.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
And you only know of who to be questioned during that grand jury. Who is deposed that you know of?
The only other person that I knew of was Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. Because me and him went in the same day. We went out to lunch together. Right. What he was questioned on, I couldn't tell you.
Well, it might have been obviously of the similar situation because you were there. The grand jury is seated to hear one side testimony, and that's usually a case that you've been questioned on. So they had to have questioned him on the same thing.
Well, like I said, this was on Thursday. On Friday, they bring you back to go in.
Yeah.
I sat in that room for 3 hours. Okay. They walked in, said, here's your ticket. Get on a plane and go home.
Okay,
that's fine. So I never actually got in front of the grand jury. I just got in front of the deposition part of it.
Did Mr. Perfect get in front of the grand jury?
I don't know that because, like I said, they have you sit in separate rooms the second day. They just walked in and said, here's your ticket, go home.
And you never talked to Mr. Perfect as to what was said and so forth and all that?
Like I said, the day before when we went out for lunch and stuff like that, we were just talking
about... Who went out to lunch?
Me and him.
You and Mr. Perfect?
Yeah, we went out for lunch.
And you guys never talked about the deposition or what was coming or forthcoming and all that?
Because all we would talk about was... How do you feel and stuff like that? He would talk about the child thing saying, hey, I got nothing to do with it. I don't know nothing about it.
So why did they depose him then?
They were talking about the, remember, at that point, it was the steroids.
Yeah, but I don't think they would combine both on a grand jury type of thing.
Like I said, at this point in here, what was being said in the room, he was being, how can I say, we were just talking about general stuff. What he was being questioned on,
okay,
he couldn't talk to me about. What I was being questioned on, I could talk to him about by the lawyer's orders, but we could talk general things like it's a bunch of goo-gah and stuff like that.
Sure. So just to get back on track here, your message right now to Lee Cole is to just cut the shit, stop what you're doing, stop trying to portray Mel Phillips in a light that he has no proof on.
Correct.
How do you know he has no proof? Just out of curiosity. I mean, you guys have corresponded. I know he's since then, there's been no correspondence, but you have been corresponding most of the time. Has he ever told you that he has proof? Has
he told you that he has something? You don't know what I have and stuff like that. And my response to that would be, Lee Cole, if any self-respecting lawyer gives you evidence on something like that before a trial is in place,
okay,
are they willing to put their livelihood on the line for you, Lee Cole?
Okay. No, I understand. I'm just trying to figure out why nobody is coming forward here with some type of proof, pictures, text messages, affidavits, you know, all that stuff as to corroborate any of this. Because right now, Gerard, I'll come out and say that, you know, what you're telling me is fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, we put our heads on our pillow. What's the deal? You know, are we questioning the nature of Mel Phillips? Was he grooming kids? Were you too old for him? So he just kept a normal relationship with you. Did you, you know, were there other kids in other town that were underage that he was hanging out with and playing with and all that stuff?
From the time I graduated in 1990.
Okay.
To the time. He got so from 1990 time I graduated.
But you've known him since 87, though. Don't forget, yes. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So from 1987 to 1990.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I wasn't around him every day, but from the time I graduated and the time I started working, till the late part of 1993.
Okay.
When I can tell you, we were around each other almost every day.
So let me ask you, what was his sexual preference? Did he like women?
He liked women, but I said a comment about saying his fantasy woman was Whitney Houston, okay?
But well, that was my fantasy woman in high school, so.
He was married to his job, and
but he didn't have a relationship with a female or anybody? Like, was there anybody that he was with? Besides you, I mean, you're telling me you're with him every day.
Like I said, he was married.
That sounds to me like his relationship preference was with you when you think about it.
And I totally understand. And I'm saying to you, I had girlfriends in this time.
Yeah. Did you have time to see your girlfriends if you guys were together?
Yeah. No. Listen, like when I'm saying we'd go home at night, he ended up moving.
Sure.
Into New Hampshire. And if you look, people say, oh, he went to New Hampshire. He started working at a Best Buy and stuff like that. And the reason why? Tax-free. So he moved in.
Fine. That's a personal preference. And all that. I'm just trying to wrap my head around the fact that he's with you every day for X amount of years, and this man never developed a relationship if he liked females. You know, men are men. They have urges and so forth. And, you know, I don't know how to put this the right way, but didn't he ever
see know where you want to go with
companionship at all?
I know what you're doing. I mean, I know how you want to say it. And I would ask him about it. And yeah, his thing was, I am married to my job. I just like my job so much.
You got to understand this, though. After 92, he didn't have a job. You guys worked the indie circuit, right?
We started doing that in
95. So what took place between 92, his departure from WWE, until then?
So from 92 to, like I said, I started working in 93. Like there were places we go on vacations and stuff like that. But then once that happened, so once he started, now he turns around, he gets another job.
I'm just trying to figure out. So what was he working? Everyday jobs?
Yes.
He's married to his everyday jobs, and he didn't find time to go out with a girl?
Well, and like he never wanted kids and stuff like that. And I understand it's weird. But there are people in this world who can be single and just married to their job, married to their work. And he never felt he could give any kind of commitment to any job.
But he's not working in those types of realms anymore. He has time. If he's working at a Best Buy or something like that, he does have free time for that.
And the other thing is, too, he always believed Vince would call him back. So he didn't want to ever get bogged down in anything.
Well, that's a hypothetical. I understand he's holding on to a dream and so forth. I get that. My thing is why he just didn't have time for a relationship with a female. I know he says he's married to his job, but it sounds a little bit more, something's not right in that department, where he just didn't want to seek out some type of female companionship, even if it was once in the 4-year span you guys were, you know, hanging out.
Once together. The IRS got involved and took everything away from him, I'm talking about he was a beaten down man at that point on. And when I say beaten down, he would sit for hours just crying. Just like, there'd be days he wanted to take his life.
Over the IRS taking his money, or the fact that of the scandal?
Both.
Okay.
He thought, okay, I can get away with the scandal.
You're telling me there were days that Mel Phillips wanted to commit suicide because of the scandal and the IRS and all that stuff?
He's like, I worked my whole life, and it was gone like that. It was gone. It was taken away from him in an instant.
Okay.
On something that he could not control.
And how did you help him get through that? Obviously,
I would lend him money to get it back on his feet.
But that's fine. But I'm talking mental health wise, because that's a big issue nowadays. And how did you console him? How did you tell him it's going to be okay? I mean, you guys were together, work relationship. I get it. You guys were together for a long period of time, developed this relationship, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's gone.
The only way I could console him, was the only way I could. Tomorrow's another day. Don't do nothing today. You're going to regret tomorrow. I know when you're talking to somebody who could end up being suicidal, you don't really, you know, but that was the best advice.
So he was crying in front of you a lot over this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
he ever seek any type of counseling or stuff like that?
Couldn't afford it.
Couldn't afford it. Well, that's a tough gig. I mean, well, there is mental health. I know back then mental health resources weren't available like they were today.
Oh yeah, nowadays you can look it up online and you can
I get it. No, I understand. You know, you got to go back to that time frame.
Right.
So when did you guys get back into the indie circuit?
We got back in 90, I want to say late 94, early 95. And we got back in doing some shows up in Manchester, New Hampshire. Right. And because we had the ring. Okay. So somebody reached out to him. He bumped into somebody, reached out, and he was talking about the ring. The guy said, hey, yeah, bring it up. So we bring up the ring and we did some shows. He was the announcer.
Oh,
he
was
actually announced these shows.
Right.
And then we actually did a show one day in Somersworth, New Hampshire. And
what show? Like with what outfit?
It was just independence. People booking a show and just needing the ring.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. All right.
And one of the people that came up.
No ECW at that time? Because they were pretty big back then at that time. So.
one of the people that came up to one of the shows was Jim Myers.
Oh, Joe Gianimal, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Him and Mel had a conversation.
Okay.
Where Jim Myers proceeded to tell Mel Phillips the old man had to do what was right for his company.
Okay.
And so, you know,
and that was at the time, because of the steroid scandal, he had to get rid of any even if it was hearsay. I see that in the chat. Real quickly, thank you everybody who's in the chat tonight. I know there's a lot going on here, a lot to unravel and so forth. Technically, there isn't a lot to unravel, because what we're finding out now, that Lee Cole is just shooting bullets, blank bullets in the air, and expecting something to come back, and nothing. He's got no proof. Lee Cole has no proof. He hasn't shown his proof. You're telling me that, correct?
Yes.
Gerard, he has no proof. He's basically living off his brother's passing. Is that correct?
Yeah. And, you know, here's my other question for you, Joe.
No, I'm asking you, is that correct? Is that a good assumption? Okay. So my thing here is you're trying to get that platform to get the word out there that if there's any negativity towards Mel, whether or not it's pedophilia, whether it's inappropriate relationships, whether it's whatever, you've known Mel Phillips. You seem like you guys were great friends.
15 years.
15 years. And he passed away in 2012, you said?
We stopped talking in July of 2002. And the reason why we stopped talking was over money. And
what was the money thing?
Because of how much I had lent him before he could try and get back on his feet. Every time he told me he'd pay me back, he didn't. So that's why I got into, so we started doing some shows, and the shows just, and what the tip of the iceberg was, we did three shows in Machias, Maine, Bathurst, New Brunswick, Canada, and Presque Isle, Maine. I want to say Thanksgiving week in 1996.
Okay.
I was supposed to get paid a certain amount of money. I didn't get paid it. I said, I'm going to use that ring and I'm going to do independent shows.
Gerard, I get it. There's a money thing there. That's a personal thing between you and Mel and so forth. But so you didn't talk to him from 2002 to, did you go to his funeral?
I didn't know he died until David Bixenspan.
So till when?
David Bixenspan put it in his report.
Okay. So
I read that report the day after.
You guys didn't have any correspondence from 2002 to till his death?
No.
After this long-term relationship, there was nothing after that?
No.
Why is that? I'm a little dumbfounded by that. I mean, you guys were very close. You spent a lot of time together. You have a history. You went through loyalty. You left your gig at WWF because of him. And
marriage and kids.
Real life kicks in sooner or later. I get all that.
And
did Mel go to your wedding? Was he involved in any of that at that point? Or
no, I had gotten married 2 weeks before the last time I saw him, and I had gone to him and said one of our good friends had passed away. Okay. Now we might not have talked to him for about 6 months, and I knocked on his door. He opened the door. He said, "What are you here for?" I said, "I'm coming to tell you
that." That's what he said to you.
Yeah.
What are you here for? Okay.
I've come to tell you that I came to tell him that James Miranda had passed away.
Okay.
Okay.
And what did he say about that?
He started crying because him and Jimmy were good friends.
But they weren't talking, obviously, either. Correct?
He wasn't talking because he couldn't even call him and tell him he was passing away. Obviously, so
saying there was no relationship at that point between these people then.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there was.
Oh, okay. So
We kept it. I kept in touch with Jimmy until about a month before.
Yep.
So my future wife had met Jimmy.
Okay.
So I was in contact with, so my ex-wife didn't know about my life with WWE. She didn't know about it.
Okay. So that was a whole separate thing. So that's unfortunate that he had passed away. Mel passed away, and you didn't know about it until the report. Is he buried somewhere? Is he?
I've reached out to his family.
Right.
I have not got a response back from.
Have you met his? Did you ever meet his family? Did you ever meet?
I met his mother. I met his mother.
Okay.
What's
the reason for them not corresponding about that?
I don't know. It's only been about 3 weeks now that I sent out something to them.
Oh, okay. So it's more recent then. Okay.
The other thing I want to bring up, Joe, okay?
Sure.
I worked for WWE for 2 years, give or take. Okay.
Yep.
From the time I met Mel Phillips, okay?
Yep.
Within, I'm going to say 1 year, I knew the phone number for WWF.
Okay.
When I started working there, I knew the direct numbers for Vince McMahon and Linda McMahon.
Okay.
Tom said he was there for 5 years.
Okay.
Within 6 months, I knew both their extensions.
Right.
Why couldn't he have called them directly? Because I'll tell you what, if any of the truth, if anything like that had happened to me, I would have been picking up the phone and calling either one because I knew either one's extension and say, listen, this is what's going on.
Right. But this seems to be a lot of cover up in the WWE coming out now, especially with the Janelle Grant lawsuit and as well as the Ashley Massaro situation. So, you know, you got to look at that factor too.
Put it this way. I wouldn't have called Vince.
Okay.
I would have called Linda.
Okay.
Because
did you have that type of relationship with Linda? You could do that?
Because the company wasn't as big back then as it is today.
No, I get that. The explosion was, there was, you know, you had the Hulk Hogan era and so forth, but
they weren't as big
as they are now. So they were reachable at that point on a phone call.
There was shows I could say hello to Vince and stuff like that. We could talk. I was on elevators with him having conversations. How'd you like the show and stuff like that? So he knew who I was.
Did he know you worked for them?
Yeah.
Did Vince know? Okay.
When the guy from the New York Post questioned him, and Vince, and I will say this about Vince right now, I appreciate the fact he never gave Phil Mushnick my real name.
Okay.
And that way there, I wasn't bothered. And I appreciate that for him. Because Mushnick had a name, and he goes, I don't know, I just know that guy had his parents' permission. But he never gave my real spelling of the name.
Right.
But Vince could have gone and looked and say, hey, I know we've cut checks for this guy. How do you actually spell his name? He could have gone and done that, but he didn't want to give it to Phil Mushnick. Okay. He didn't want to give it away to anybody, and I appreciate the fact that he didn't give it away to anybody.
Right.
And
Okay. So I understand what you're saying, but back then it was accessible to see or call Vince or Linda if there was a
absolutely
problem. They didn't have a human resources department and things like that, or
oh yeah, but you know, there'd be times you could have called the number after hours.
Yeah,
guess who pick up the phone? Vince.
Who?
He pick up Vince because Vince always had a thing to where there wasn't enough hours in a day, and his words were, "If I'm sleeping, I'm not working." I don't know how somebody can live like
that. I understand that. That sounds like Vince had a lot of control back then with these situations. Obviously, Vince has been surrounded by situations. Being in this type of environment, you are subject to that. So,
yes.
So anyways, before we wrap up here, I know we've been talking for a while. I didn't expect to go this long, and I do apologize. And I still want to thank everybody in the chat for chiming in. I'm sorry I couldn't get to them. We're just trying to get through the logistics of all this. So Lee Cole goes on his show all the time, says that his brother told him that Mel Phillips was a pedophile and all that. You disagree. Are there anybody else out there that can come forward and say this isn't true?
I think the guy John from Braintree, if we could ever get him on,
sure.
I think he would have a different story.
When you say different story, how?
I think he would have a different story than what Lee Cole's out there peddling.
Oh, okay. So the same story is similar to yours then?
Correct.
Okay.
Because he reached out to Monty and said, hey, can I get that guy's number? And so Monty sent me John's phone number. Me and John have been going back and forth, and we've been discussing. And he told me, well, Mel used to do this, and he talked about the Cape Cod Coliseum when he was around Vince. And I'm
when
like,
you say Mel would do this. That's not like what we're talking about.
Oh no. I'm talking about like take him to this arena, take him to that arena, stuff like that.
You guys are more or less errand boys and all that stuff. And
okay.
So. To wrap this up, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm still wrapping my head around all this because I'm looking for some type of proof and so forth. And you've been very forthcoming with what you said, Gerard, and I greatly appreciate that. Again, Lee Cole, unsubstantiated, whatever the rhetoric that he's sharing now on his channel, or whatever he uses for social media is.
Can I bring up two things?
Sure, go right ahead. Go ahead.
The two things I've asked. And it's never been brought up because in the early 90s, this is something that should have been brought up. What was Lee and Tom's homophobia and racism views? Because
why is that relevant?
Because if they were homophobic and racist, the three guys they accused fit the bill. It was never brought up into any situation. Why weren't they questioned on it?
Why would they want to be? Why would you want them questioned on it?
Because if you're homophobic and racist, I mean, you just made the claim against two guys who are minimum bisexual and one who's black.
Right. Okay.
And mind you, this is right around the time of the LA riots and stuff like that too. So a white kid accusing gay guys and a black guy of doing something could have been very
okay.
You know,
I understand what you're saying. There's a narrative there that fits back then. I understand that. So as we wrap up here, I know I've been saying that a bunch of times. You're right now. Your correspondence with Lee is null and void. You said he's blocked you or doesn't take your calls anymore.
He won't take the calls. Won't answer the emails.
And this is all stemming from the fact that you wanted to have a one-on-one with this guy. And it didn't come to fruition, and now you want him to stop with his constant unsubstantiated accusations towards the Mel Phillips Ring Boy scandal, because he's basically saying, from what you're telling me, that you had a relationship with Mel Phillips. Anybody related with Mel Phillips or in that circle had some type of inappropriate relationship, whether you were 18, whether you were 15, whatever it was. I get it. You were over 18 for the majority of your time with Mel Phillips, which there's nothing wrong with that. You're an adult. You do whatever you want to do. I get that. People will draw their own conclusions to that. You know, but what I wanted to get out of you tonight was the fact that, you know, Lee Cole, you've had conversations with him where, you know, he just basically is not telling the truth, correct?
In my eyes, yes, he's not telling the truth. And Joe, let me tell you something, okay? Be careful who you shit on today, because they might be the ones you want to wipe your ass tomorrow.
That's a great analogy. I understand that. But, you know, obviously at this point, it's a money thing for Mr. Lee Cole. It's, you know, from what I'm gathering, from reading the chat, what I'm gathering from everybody else that is talking about this is that Lee Cole has unsubstantiated. He has no proof. As of right now, he hasn't come forward with anything. He's talking the game, but he's actually not in the game or, you know, proving his stuff. Is that correct?
Correct. When he told me he had never met Mel Phillips, and I was like, okay, so you never met him.
That's a whole different thing. I understand that. Yeah. I mean, that's a tough, you know, when somebody who hasn't met the guy and he's going to start, you know, accusing him of things. Do you think possibly that, you know, with his brother's death, he's just on some type of crusade to, you know, I don't know, to destroy this whole thing about the Mel Phillips? I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what his angle is at, and I don't get it.
Think about the people who he's relied on. He relied on a New York Post columnist who clearly hates Vince McMahon.
Right. No, I get that.
Lee has said he hates Vince McMahon.
Well, they shouldn't hate him too much because, you know, that drives.
They're making a living off of him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He shouldn't. But you had a right. This is going back, though, right? Yeah. Okay.
I believe Lee Cole has made more money off this scandal than his brother made off of it.
Yeah.
The one thing that, and I want to get to you, Joe, is real quickly is
sure.
This whole scandal, if people think about it, would have been compared to a pimp and prostitutes. Okay, Mel would have been the pimp.
That's called sex trafficking, and right now Vince McMahon is under investigation just for that very reason. So. The timing couldn't be worse, I guess, with all this. But then again, this is what happens in the world of wrestling, right? When it rains,
32 years ago,
things like this happen.
Right. So 32 years ago, you're not talking about anything that could have been consensual. What he's saying, nothing was consensual.
Right.
And you were dealing with boys and men.
Right.
So
not boys to men, but boys with men. Okay.
Right. So the FBI back then should have been like, wait a minute, hold on. So what's going on today? Some part of it, they said, was consensual. Where did that cross the line? Back, Tom was saying nothing was consensual. But nothing was charged. Nothing was found out. You're not going to go back and charge dead people with crimes.
Right. No, I understand that. And that's a shame right now, because the person who's at the center of all this is no longer with us, so we can't get his side.
I wish he could have.
Right. And it seems like he wasn't much of a family man, meaning obviously if he was traveling with you and all that stuff, and you said he didn't have a relationship outside of his work.
He took very well care of his family. I will say this. His mother had everything in her life she needed. He took care of his whole family. His mother, his sisters, his brothers, his nephews, his nieces. They all lived off of him. He owned apartments in Philadelphia.
Right.
When this happened, he transferred the apartments to his sister.
Right.
And she never gave him back. Now. And so basically his family turned on it.
Well, that's a whole different thing. I understand. Yeah, right. Well, I don't want to go down that avenue. I'm just saying that Mel Phillips is no longer here.
Right.
To, just to even put him on a show would be great. But unfortunately, we have to go with what you say. We have to go with what Lee Cole says. I'm looking at the majority of the chat. It looks like they've already tried and convicted Lee Cole pretty much. So nonetheless, that is something. I mean, I'm going to try and get Lee Cole on the show and see if he can tell me what his proof is and so forth. So if he has,
if you want me back on with him, I'll go back. I have no problem going back on with him.
I'm game for anything. I just don't want to have a screaming match if I get you guys two in the room together. I don't think Lee will do that because, it's not under his type of arena. Let's put it that way. He wants the home field advantage, I'm sure.
He wants the hits. He wants the hits, and that's what he told me. He didn't want to go on Monty because he didn't want to give them the hits.
Right. Well, my show is separate. I get it. I am on the mic and the Monty and the Pharaoh channel, but the real story here is the fact that this is my own show, and I can pretty much bring on who I want and do what we got to do here. And, and that to me, it's to get to the truth.
I promise if you get me and him on the same show, I will be cordial. I will be respectful, and I will treat him like a man until he treats me not like one.
Okay. No, I get that. Then that Gerard, that's a very admirable statement, and I appreciate that. Well, we're going to wrap up now because it looks like we've been holding everybody hostage here for about an hour and 37 minutes. Gerard, I want to thank you for coming on. I know this stuff's not easy to talk about and so forth. I want to, I appreciate your time. And, like I said, one last thing, what would you tell Lee Cole right now to do?
Be a man. Man up.
Yep.
Do a show with me.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it. There you hear it. There's Gerard, a.k.a. the Ring Boy, who is a close friend of Mel Phillips here. Refuting the allegations that Mel Phillips was into young boys, pedophilia, all that stuff. Any type of rebuttal that I get from Lee Cole, I will reach out to Lee Cole to see if he would like to come on the show, or whatever information I get, I will gladly pass on to the viewers and so forth, and Gerard yourself. But again, Gerard, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us here. I want to thank everybody for tuning in live and on the replay. Everybody, thank you so much for the chat. Looks like it was lighting up like a ticker tape thing there from the stock market or whatever they call those things that used to come off the thing. But nonetheless, thank you all that tuned in. I just appreciate it. No, Monty, I didn't just kidnap the audience. But thank you so much. And again, thanks to Joe Myers, Baby Cakes, for the $5 donation. Greatly appreciate that. So I'm Joe Lowry. That's going to do it for me, folks. You guys have a great week. Speaking of week, I have a huge interview coming up this Wednesday. Gerard, you might like this. Harley Race's son, WWE Hall of Famer Harley Race, his son Justin is coming on. He's going to have some great stories fresh from their appearance on the Dark Side of the Ring. So that's going to be this coming Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 Central. So be sure to join us for that. And I'm sure we got some good shows coming up this week. Dylan Hines, that's going on this Friday as well on Monty and the Pharaoh. So stay tuned to that. But Coming up Wednesday, Justin Race, Harley Race's son, will be with us fresh off his Dark Side of the Ring appearance. So that's going to do it for me, folks. Gerard, again, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for everybody. You guys have a good one. Take care.